Hey everyone, Zach here. Before we get started, I just wanted to address the audio issues towards the end of this podcast. The tone of my voice shifts dramatically, and I've tried my best to fix it, but it still is going to be different than normal. Going to try to have precautions in the future so this doesn't happen again, and on with the show. Thanks. I do have an opener, though.
Okay.
Hey, Izzy, you know, all that work that we put in together, a bunch of stuff from GDC and relevant news.
We have like a lot of bullet points and ideas and that and stuff.
Giant Google Doc that we had going.
Yeah.
Rip it all up.
Just toss it out the print it out, rip it up, and then toss it in the garbage can. That's not very environmentally friendly, Zach. I'm just saying.
I don't care. I'll recycle it, okay?
Okay, fine.
Gotta go with the recycling.
Do what you gotta do.
How's it going?
It's great. I'm very excited.
I don't know what you have to be excited about, though. Like, come on.
I mean, aren't you excited? Aren't you feeling excited?
Nothing happened this week.
Nothing.
Especially today, approximately 10 hours ago. No, 11 hours ago.
On the 12th of April, 2019.
9 hours ago. I cannot do any math. Woof.
Math is hard, man.
Math is hard, especially dealing with time. Just like,
Time is difficult.
So I've started watching, like, Vsauce. Have you heard of that YouTube channel?
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
So it's this guy that does a lot of very scientific videos. And I kind of got into it because of the recent, like, black hole discovery this week, which was very awesome.
I cried.
I jumped from Veritasium to Vsauce. And he gets a little annoying with his intros and with his constantly popping up in between scenes. Whatever. But he just like goes, his videos will pose a question or kind of like a generic term. And then you watch it and he's just like, well, what is the thing that we're talking about? So like the one I just watched was, what is the tallest building in the world? He's like, well, up until like 1500 something, either BC or 80, I don't know. Like the pyramids were the tallest building in the world. But what classifies a building? Well, a building has to be self-standing and it has to be supporting people. Otherwise, it's just a structure. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. So what he does is he goes down like all these rabbit holes of like classifying what the thing is at the beginning of the video. I think it's like more and more abstract. It's just like, it's never satisfying at the end, but yet I keep watching.
And you just keep going.
It's how they get you. It's very good channel. It's very educational, but I'm just like, why do I keep doing this?
You just keep going down the rabbit hole. Kind of like TV tropes, except now it's Vsauce.
It's just the metaphorical sneeze that never comes.
The metaphorical sneeze that never comes. Sounds like torture.
It basically is.
Sounds like hell.
Yeah. Welcome to my life.
Very dramatic, very dramatic.
So, again, been 3 weeks since that episode. We're sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry. Mostly because this time I was sick.
It's not me this time.
This time is me. I was in a lot of pain, but I'm okay now. So
yay. I mean, that's all that matters, really.
That's all that matters, right? Yeah, man.
But we're back. We're gonna try and do it better next week. I'm kind of glad that we're back on, I guess, what is the original schedule?
Yeah, the original schedule.
Because
that
next
was a
week
weird
is, March. Yeah, it was. Next week is Easter. Oh my God, I cannot believe it's Easter. It's already middle of April. What the hell? I'm just saying.
Do you do anything exciting for Easter?
Just visit my mom and have a nice lunch and do that.
That sounds nice. It.
Yeah. You?
Not really. I mean, well, sometimes my cousins or my nieces and nephew like to do Easter egg hunts. So sometimes we do that. They're really cute. But they do get into fights, though. So you gotta watch out for that. Gotta watch out.
Those little toddler fights.
They're cute, but watch out.
Smash eggs into each other's skulls.
Got like, you!
Snitch on each other.
She took the purple egg!
They're getting better. They're actually like mediating fights between each other now. So I guess they're growing up a little bit now, so we don't have to like be too worried about them bursting into tears and screaming.
Oh, I wish everybody was that way.
Yeah, me too. But you know, at least they're learning. They're growing up.
So proud of them.
I don't know if I go that far. Just kidding. I am proud of them. I'm proud of them no matter what.
Aw. Mm-hmm. Okay, so before we get into like what we want to discuss, the one thing I do want to carry over, particularly for Aaron, which if you're listening, hi.
Hello.
is the March Apple event. And his question that he asked was, okay, so at the event, it was a bunch of services that Apple's doing, Apple News Plus, Apple Credit Card, which is like, okay, whatever. Apple Arcade, Apple TV Plus, which is their subscription thing to compete with Netflix or Hulu or whatever streaming service. And then Oprah showed up. And it was like this 3-5 minute long video of like just moving pictures, like not moving pictures as in like motion pictures, but like these inspirational pictures flashing on the screen and inspirational quotes and the voice we all need at this time. And then it just reveals Oprah is coming to Apple. And it was so like, one, it's so Apple, but two, it's also so Oprah in a way.
It is. Like
I mean, you can't like introduce Oprah, which is, oh, we have one more thing. Here's Oprah. Ah!
It has to be like outrageous and over the top of highlighting how important she is, you know?
Just like,
which I appreciated. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, I do too. But, so the question that Aaron posed to me and to you, basically, is who were the three people you thought would be revealed at the event instead of Oprah?
Instead of Oprah?
Yeah.
Honestly, I did not expect anybody, really. I was just like, let me be pleasantly surprised, because I don't know what to expect. I don't watch Apple stuff. You know how I feel about Apple, which positively.
It's just the general gist of like this buildup of like somebody who is so huge and so powerful and we can all get behind. You really had no idea or no other thoughts?
Not really. I mean, I expected Oprah, actually. That's who I expected. Like, I expected them to get someone who benefited wildly from capitalism and who supports their corporate philosophy. So no offense to like Oprah, because she did really well for herself and she helps a lot of people. But like, if you're gonna try to push that high horse that Apple seems to ride on all the time, who better than to go for a spiritual leader like Oprah? That certainly flexes really well for them. But anyway, so as you can tell, I really like Apple. Huh?
Oh yeah,
big fan.
Just like whenever I was watching it, I'm like, is it gonna be Obama?
See, I would have said, you know, maybe Obama, but like, Well, now I will say that I was thinking Obama if I had known today what I knew a couple weeks ago watching the Apple conference. But I didn't. I mean, I did, but like I didn't want to face it. But that's mm-hmm. that's like a whole other thing about going into politics and all the things Obama has been saying recently that I just don't want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we don't need to get into that. But had he said those things before I watched the Apple event, then yes, I would have been like, well, it was either Oprah or Obama.
It was just either Oprah or Obama for me. And then like, okay, that it's Oprah. But we'll just throw the rest of that out.
We'll throw the rest of the document out. We don't need to throw it out. We could just talk about something else another time. Listen, I want to talk about Vampire the Masquerade. Maybe I should make you play the first Bloodlines game and then we can talk about it.
What is it on? Bloodlines.
It's on
game.
Steam.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, no, that's not it. Okay.
Vampire, so the Masquerade Bloodlines. The first one should be on Steam. Oh,
okay. I was confused because
the sequel was announced. It's like, it's been like 15 years, man. I was in high school when I played the first one.
I was so old. Just kidding.
I'm sorry now.
I was confused because like the game title is Vampire: The Masquerade - Bloodlines in it. So I thought like the headline in the story was like Bloodlines was the original game. Because it says Vampire: The Masquerade - Bloodlines is getting a sequel. Like, okay, I don't know what is the game. Anyway.
But like, it's a whole universe and a bunch of different other games and pen and paper games involved too. So it's a whole thing. It
delivers a new type of RPG experience, one that blends all the core elements of a traditional RPG with the graphical richness, immediacy, and brutal combat of a first-person action game.
They compared it to like Dishonored, which is Dishonored's like gameplay, especially like the combat was really, really good. So if that's like even the design philosophy that they're aiming for, I'm like already in love. And Vampire the Masquerade also like focuses on a lot of politics and social commentary and political commentary. It's actually, I'm very excited for it.
Okay, I may have to try it. I just, you mentioning Dishonored, I kind of didn't like it. I don't know.
You didn't like the combat system?
Kind of just didn't like the game. It felt weird for me, but I also didn't play that much of it.
Yeah, the combat system, it takes a little bit getting used to, but once you get used to it, it's actually like really robust and it gives you so many different options and directions to go. You can play either like very aggressive, you can be completely stealth. There's a lot of different methods to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, the original game, also had like different emphasis on paths you could take depending on like the race of vampire you picked right in the beginning, or like the, I guess, the bloodline that you picked right in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole concept of the masquerade itself is that you don't want to reveal to the common person that you are like a superhuman type creature, you know, or inhuman type creature, as it were, you know, a vampire basically. So you maintain the masquerade. It's like a whole world of darkness.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we can go on talk about that another time.
Well, I mean, we're kind of in it, so
we're kind of in it.
Yeah, whatever. We don't have a schedule for this one anyway, so as you heard, I ripped it up.
You ripped it up. Well, what? We were going to toss this. I'm just telling you what it is so that you can play it so that we can come back to it, because you've never played the game before. It's pretty good.
Okay, well, we'll just move on then.
So okay. This morning. When I woke
something
up,
magical happened.
Something magical happened. The first thing that happened when I woke up was that I got a message from my group chat, and it was a picture of The Mandalorian. And they're like, we all know where Izzy's money is going. That was the first thing I saw when I woke up.
Straight into Disney's pocket.
I was like, that's exactly where all my money's going.
Which, so to back up a little bit, this week is Star Wars Celebration, which is a fan convention. Okay. It's a official convention for fans of Star Wars together. Also, yesterday, Disney unveiled their Disney Plus streaming service, which has a lot of stuff going for it. So it's going to have like all the Disney movies there. Now that they're merged with Fox Entertainment or 20th Century Fox, whatever it is, they are going to be able to stream the entire Simpsons catalog now, all 30 seasons of it, which is like just an insane amount of content.
Oh my God.
So they're going to have that. They're going to have all the Star Wars movies. They're going to have all the Marvel movies. There's upcoming Marvel series, including one for Hawkeye, I believe.
Yes.
Which everybody was excited about.
Yes. What other Marvels? Hopefully it adheres to like the comic series that's going on right now, because it's hilarious. And very, very New York, I have to say. But anyway, continue.
What other Disney series? Disney Plus series where they're coming.
There's a Cassian Andor spinoff.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, I was trying to think of non-Star Wars stuff.
Oh, non-Star Wars. I don't know.
Oh, there's, yeah, High School Musical, the musical, the series. Oh, God.
I don't know if I care about that. But I mean, maybe.
Yeah. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, both of which are Marvel characters.
Interesting.
Loki.
I do care about Falcon.
Huh?
I said I do care about the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
And the Winter Soldier, I guess.
Loki is launching in year two.
Okay.
So this is just a list from CNN. I don't have like actors or whatever. WandaVision, which is Wanda from the Marvel movies, which is Elizabeth Olsen. And then moving more into the Star Wars. First, we have, like you said, the Cassian Andor series, which he's Diego Luna's character from Rogue One.
That's and right.
So it's being Diego Luna is portraying Cassian Andor again, so he's reprising the role. Also, K2SO is going to be there.
Yes.
With, I cannot think of his name. Oh my God. The actor.
Which actor?
Alan Tudyk.
Oh, yes.
So Alan Tudyk is going to play K2SO, which is great. Also, they're going to have the Clone Wars. Star Wars The Clone Wars. So that's where the new seasons are going to launch.
Which is, away from Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feeling sad about that, but what can you
do?
Yeah.
I think I have all of the seasons on Blu-ray, but like it's still not as convenient as just having it on Netflix. Yeah, and they recently just like that expired at the beginning of this month, didn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking what else. Original.
I hope
films.
I can like rewatch Rebels and rewatch or catch up on the Resistance. Those two animated, I really want to see.
I would be surprised if you couldn't. I mean, well,
I'm way behind in the Resistance.
I haven't even started the Resistance.
And I just want to rewatch all the Mandalorian episodes from Rebels. I'm biased. You know, I have my niche interest here.
Ugh, you and your biases. Ugh.
My extremely niche interest is.
Let's see. Resistance is on Prime Video if you buy it. Holy crap, a season is $40. No.
I'm poor. Anyway. I can't do that.
They're also going to have a bunch of documentaries and like unscripted series and live specials on the streaming service.
Fancy.
Yes, and also apparently original movies. And of course, you know, their entire like Disney movie collection.
Of course, of course. Maybe I can finally watch Frozen and understand what all the hype is about, because I have never seen that movie.
Really?
Yep.
I think we've discussed this.
Yes, we have.
I'm sorry.
My sister used to sing.
I may have to somehow send you potentially a copy of this alleged movie called Frozen.
No, that's good. I'm good.
It's okay, but
I'm good. I don't need to watch it.
Oh, you're gonna watch it at some point.
I'm good. I don't need it.
No, okay.
I don't need it.
I think kind of what blew me away was how they didn't go for the traditional $9.99 model, $9.99 a month model, and instead it's only going to be $6.99 or $69.99 a year, which,
you know, hey. Nice.
So that led into today's celebration news, which, that's okay, right. I guess even go back a little bit more. This is a mess. Oh my god.
This is what happens when you have like Star Wars nerds on a podcast who's trying to make a general podcast that's not about Star Wars.
It doesn't work. So
now we're totally disoriented because we are wanting to speak about this one thing for so long and
we're so damn excited.
Okay, continue.
So The Mandalorian is a live action series that is coming to the Disney Plus streaming service. So, we don't know any additional details. That's going to come out later this weekend, though. I think, whenever their panel is.
I sure hope so. I'm very excited because they picked Gina Carano.
So, do you want to tell us a little bit about what The Mandalorian is?
We don't really know that much about The Mandalorian, honestly. What we do know is that I remember that first release, where it was just like a little blurb, and it included Jango Fett and Boba Fett in the same words as Mandalorians. So first of all, we appreciated that, you know, that Jango Fett and Boba Fett has been like kind of reconfirmed to be Mandalorians, because that whole in the Clone Wars of them apparently being retconned to not be Mandalorians, which was a decision.
I was gonna say, as he said,
you know, is what it is. It's garbage. It just is, all right?
No, it just... Oh, the New York accent there.
Listen. It's garbage. Anyway. There, I said it like a normal person.
What all is right? normal?
But anyway, they had a lot of like high profile directors announced. They had a Taika Waititi, you know, who did Thor Ragnarok, which is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And, the other directors was Bryce Dallas Howard, Rick Famuyiwa, Deborah Chow, and Dave Filoni.
And Jon Favreau is producing it.
Yes, Jon Favreau is producing it. We're very excited. I'm very excited. I keep saying we, but you know, I'm not speaking as the whole Mandalorian fandom here. Because there's a lot of infighting. As you well know, but maybe people who are listening don't really know that. There's a lot of fighting.
Nerds want to fight?
Mandalorian nerds fighting other Mandalorian nerds about who is more of a Mandalorian nerd? This happens all the time.
That's imagine a culture of nerds fighting about which nerds are more nerdy, or which like set of Mandalorians are more fighty.
The more ridiculous thing is that the Mandalorians themselves in Star Wars has an entire history based around fighting each other with who's more Mandalorian than the other Mandalorians.
I mean, that's where we get the new Mandalorians in the Clone Wars, so.
But anyway, we're getting completely off topic here. The Mandalorian is starring Pedro Pascal, which I'm very, very excited about. Because, like, when they announced it, and I decided to look up, like, clips of him on YouTube. You know, I've seen him in Game of Thrones, right? And I love him in Game of Thrones.
As Oberyn Martell, for those who are Game of Thrones people.
Yes. Like, his face is perfect. Because he does, like, the whole super charming, super warm, but in a second, he can just go cold, his eyes, and terrifying. And that's basically what you should expect from a Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. He's perfect for the Mandalorian. I'm assuming that he's the lead. They also hired Gina Carano, who I love. I love. She was a professional fighter. She's now doing acting work. And oh my God. One of the most intense, incredible fighting scenes I've ever seen in a movie was done by her. I gotta pull it up. Hold on.
She was also in Deadpool.
She's in Deadpool as like a superhuman, but like you can tell that there's like wires and stuff involved. Like it doesn't highlight fighting ability.
Like, no.
It I'm looks just saying, cool, like, but for, it's like
for people who don't know the name.
That's true. She did play in Deadpool, but like if you want to actually see fighting ability, especially like in a movie, watch like Haywire. That's the movie. Haywire's fight scene. Because I've linked this to you before, but I'm just like, oh. It's so intense and like brutal and just absolutely like it's kind of like almost painful to watch because it's so visceral and violent. Mm-hmm. And it's so realistic in like its choreography. And I'm like, they hired her, so they've got to have good fighting scenes in this show. they better use her to her full ability. Because, like, I liked her in Deadpool, but, like, you couldn't see the actual fighting skill that she has. Mm-hmm. Like, this is important. I mean, for Mandalorians, it's important, okay?
She kind of was downplayed quite a bit in Deadpool because her character, from what I can recollect, didn't have a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Or a lot of, like, speaking lines. It wasn't very dynamic. It was just, like, grumpy.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Remembering right?
Yeah, you're right. Like, they didn't really use her to, like, the fullest. You didn't really get to see her actual, like, fighting ability because it was all very flashy and outrageous and, like, really, like, over the top, like, superhero movies usually tend to be. So like they didn't really like make full use of her like fighting ability, and then she didn't really talk that much. She didn't really act that much. She didn't really have a lot of screen time, so you couldn't really see her to her full ability. Yeah. But like if you just like go on YouTube and like look up Gina Carano Haywire fight scene, like there's one long extended fight scene that takes place in like a hotel room, and it's so good. I want to see fight scenes like that in the show. That's what I'm hoping for.
So we expect Mandalorian to be darker than probably more Rogue One-ish.
I hope so. That's like the ideal mood for Mandalorians. Yeah. Something kind of like darkish, but like maybe leaning like it seems to me like it's kind of leaning towards like a kind of Western feeling in a like a lawless area because it's taking place like in like the Outer Rim, I think.
Mm-hmm. The Outer Rim of the Star Wars galaxy.
Of the Star Wars like galaxy. This
lawless frontier. That's where like Tatooine is, Jabba the Hutt, all these gangsters, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, all the crime worlds and the big gangsters and the mafias and all the seedy underbelly of the universe is like tends to be out in the Outer Rim part of the Star Wars galaxy. Because it's apparently because it's like further out from the center of the galaxy where most civilization rests, it's harder to like police, I guess.
Which is kind of hilarious whenever you get into like the mechanics of hyperspace, but that's a whole other digression. Anyway.
Digression.
So the Mandalorian panel will be Sunday, which is the day before we release this episode. You're welcome. But, you know, we'll have more to say on the next episode. I have high expectations for it. It looks very good so far. And, like, that logo?
Gorgeous.
So good. I saw people like complaining, like they need to remove the Disney Plus original thing from it. And I'm like, oh my God, just suck it up.
Yeah, just, I mean, deal with it, man. Like, you know, it's Disney Plus. They're going to put their logo on it. They have to. So just like, stop fucking whining about it.
People.
Listen, if Dave Filoni is involved after all of the things that he did in Rebels to like fix, quote unquote, fix all of the racist choices that were made about Mandalorians in the Clone Wars, then I have like full confidence that it's going to be good. Also because they got Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. So like he's incredible and very like,
he's known for not backing down.
He's very conscious about his writing decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very deliberate in his writing choices. So if you get someone like Taika Waititi, then like you can expect something very interesting.
Yeah.
And unique.
You know, it's going to have, it's going to be a good like fighting story, but also it's going to have some humor throughout.
It's going to have some humor and it's going to have like, I'm hoping it's going to have like social commentary, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. for it to be a good Western, it has to have social commentary, even if it's mm-hmm. a sci-fi Western, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited.
So.
Mandalorians, they're my people. Mando Ade.
So, that's a thing.
Vodean, Zach.
Yes, yes. Insert Republic Commando theme song. So then
okay.
11 a.m. Central Time, the main panel kicked off.
Yes.
It's all about Star Wars Episode 9. At that point, we didn't know the name of it.
No, we
didn't. You didn't watch from the start, correct?
That is correct.
I was just amused that the host for this year was Stephen Colbert.
he's a huge fan. So
oh, yeah,
you could tell how excited he was. Like he was bouncing in his chair.
During the entire presentation, he's just like smiling or grinning or trying to hide it.
Yes.
And, like you can hear his laughter constantly.
He was so happy.
He was so like just thrilled. His facial expressions were great. He's just like sitting next to JJ and Kathleen at the beginning and he's just like
you could tell he was like, "Oh my God, I'm hosting celebration."
Oh. He also had the best knack for making everybody uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
I mean, that's come like on, a man. Stephen Colbert trait, but
I think
at the beginning of, I have to go back, but at the beginning of the panel, the crowd was cheering, Steven, 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 like they did on the Colbert Report and also now The Late Show.
That's so funny. I love it.
It's like, oh,
everybody loves him.
Stephen Colbert came on stage, was talking about how much of a fan he was, how excited he was to be there. And then Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams came on. They were talking, you know, it's more the generic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we're so excited to be here. We're so thrilled to see the turnout of the fans. What else? Just like some general... They asked about Leia or Carrie Fisher, like not being able to be there. And I think one of the big things, not big things, but like... nice reaffirming things to come out of that part was like JJ saying we never considered doing any kind of CGI for her or recasting, which I knew that they wouldn't, but it's just like one of those things
that you need to hear.
Yes, that reassurance that like it was never on the table.
And they wrote around the scenes they had already shot with her mm-hmm. that they just didn't use in The Force Awakens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which in the trailer you can see that because like it had her like the band of hair around her head.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of style you call that.
It's technically a braid. I guess you could just call it a braid, right?
Yeah. So that it was a nice thing to hear that. And then Anthony Daniels came out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
C-3PO, also R2-D2.
I tuned in right before them.
Yeah, so R2-D2 also came out with him, and it was cute because, like, Anthony put on his full, like, C-3PO voice and like, was, like, talking to R2, and it's like, I think it'd be better if you go all the way over there. And he's, like, at the end of these empty seats, which is, like, 6, 7, 8 more. Just like, oh, my God. But Anthony also thanked the crowd, and Steven brought up that, like, he's the only person to be in all 9 movies now. What does it feel like? You know, just... He's very much a charmer.
He is. And he's the lone sane man in this, yes, whole series.
I'm trying to find the quote that... Oh, this is not good. They say, shut up. Well, I'm here to say, enough! The droid fights back!
The droid fights back. I love that, by the way. I think that's so funny.
He also mentioned that tomorrow, being Saturday, his memoirs about Star Wars are coming, or is going to be announced. And the title that they... previously, or that he suggested, but the editor shot down.
But they stuck with it anyway.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
What do you mean? Wait, what?
They stuck with the title, didn't they?
No.
They changed the title, really?
Yeah, it's not... yeah, so the title that he wanted it to be was Telling the Odds. They apparently, like, the editors refused to do that. Apparently.
They're like, nobody's gonna get it. Everybody's gonna get it. What the f*** are you saying?
Everybody in the crowd. He is like, if you get the reference, I want everybody, or I want you to cheer in the crowd. And if you don't get the reference, I want you to boo. Everybody cheered.
Everybody cheered. Because everybody knows what it's about.
It's one of the classic C-3PO original trilogy lines. Like, you know, calculating the odds of surviving a asteroid field or 3,420.
And then Han Solo's like, never tell me the odds.
Yes. And it's just like a running gag.
Yeah.
Excuse me. After that, Billy Dee Williams came out.
I love him.
Which was great. And the entire time he seemed to be practically glowing. Like, he was happy to be there.
He seemed so happy.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing, though, was that he didn't say anything to Kathleen Kennedy. He thanked JJ.
Mm-hmm.
Cracked me up.
So I think, you know, there were a few times where he kind of not stumbled, but paused to, like, collect himself.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of... you're on stage in front of, like, so many, like, I don't know.
So many people who love you. Like, yeah,
like,
genuinely.
Physically in that room. I don't know how many people that space held, but also, like, people watching live streams and all around the world and whatnot. I think, like, just being there and being overwhelmed by the support.
Yeah.
Like, that would screw with anybody.
Like, he seems very emotional, but, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
Which made me emotional.
Yeah.
I'm always, like, really excited to, like, see him.
And then they threw up a picture of Lando standing in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
Wearing his cape, beaming, like, traditional Lando Calrissian.
I'm so happy.
What was funny is, like, one of the questions that Stephen Colbert asked was, so whenever you came back on the set, what did you have to, like, practice a little bit to get Lando to come back or to get back into, like, Lando's steps, or, you know, was it natural to you? And he just, like, pauses for 5 seconds and he's just like,
that's, well,
Lando
no.
never left me. Like, he's just so smooth that way. He's like, Lando is me.
I saw the quote earlier and I had it. Like, the exact quote, but now I'm like, where is it?
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing at this point. Sorry, yeah. Billy.
Stephen Colbert basically asked him, how did you find Lando again? And Billy Dee looked at him. He's like, how did I find Lando again? Lando never left me, and the whole crowd went wild. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God. I got emotional. I'm very letting myself be emotional after many years of not feeling a thing. Now I'm just going to feel all the things, I guess.
For many reasons.
For many reasons. Healing. So. Mental reasons. I hate this. This is what I get for looking on Twitter.
I'm afraid what's going on.
So if you didn't see the teaser yet for episode 9.
We're not talking spoilers right now, but.
We're not. We're going to keep out. But the spoilers is relevant to all the memes that are going on.
Oh, I know. But we'll discuss that in a second. Tried to get through like the base of like,
the beginning. All right. I'll come back because I just saw a most ridiculous meme. And I'm just like, what the f***? Fandom is so fast. People move so fast.
The internet is both terrible and amazing.
It was as Celebration was going on, as these reveals were going on, that all the memes were everywhere. Anyway,
a bunch of nerds just that was had Billy D. Photoshop open and
so emotional. Honestly, I'm very happy that he's going to be in this.
After that, then the rest of the cast came out. So we had Daisy Ridley, mm-hmm. We had John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Kelly Marie Tran, Jonas Sutamo, and Naomi. Naomi Aki, I believe.
Aki?
A-C-K-I. We'll go with that. Naomi. Who I barely remember that she was in this movie just because, like, I think it feels like that announcement was so long ago.
I know, and she's not. The thing that is kind of disappointing is that she's not in the teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But we do see her character, what she looks like. Mm-hmm. And they announced her name.
Mm-hmm.
They announced the character's name. And her name.
Wait, hang on.
Okay.
We got to build up. We got to.
She was the first person who spoke. She was the first one who spoke.
Was she?
Yes.
Yeah, she was. I'm trying to. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. I just ruined the momentum.
She was the first one who spoke. Zach, you were watching it with me. What are you doing?
Look, I was like super excited, okay?
All right, so also, her character's name is Janna.
So, J-A-N-N-A-H.
Yes, J-A-N-N-A-H. So this is actually an Arabic word or a name. It's often translated to heaven or like the garden. You know, or like a literal translation would be paradise.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually found in the Quran, which I thought was super, super, super poignant. And I'm really happy that they decided to go with this name.
I just realized that like people who are EU diehards are going to be like, oh my God, they just stole Jaina's name.
They just stole Jaina's name.
They just stole. They just took Ben from Ben Solo and made him.
I mean, they gotta relax. All right, they gotta relax. And I really appreciate it because this word Janna is like it's an important word and important like idea or concept in Islam.
Yeah. No, so, I just like the EU people. I can already hear screaming.
Oh my God!
They're just ripping off the EU now. Disney was just recycling ideas. Oh, shut up! Anyway, so yeah, they showed off a picture of her. Look, the character design looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like she's kind of standing in like a wheat field. It looked like a galactic wheat field or something like that. I don't know.
Her outfit was very Star Wars, too.
Had a cape.
Yeah.
And so we should say she is a black woman.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
With natural hair.
Yes. And in the movie, she actually has natural hair.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I was very worried that they were going to like either straighten her hair or cut it super short like they always do whenever there's a prominent black woman in a movie.
So
she has like very beautiful natural hair.
The question she was posed was, so is Lando Calrissian your dad?
Oh my god.
And like I'm just like face palming because like it totally plays into the stereotypical all the black people in Star Wars are related to each other.
They're either related or they know each other. Yes. For some reason. Somehow.
But like, you know, people said like, well, she has a cape.
Well, she has a cape. Okay.
It must be a Calrissian. If you're not related thing.
To Calrissian, then why do you have a cape? Riddle I mean, me that.
Seems fake to me.
Seems fake. All right.
But it was funny because she just kind of played it off of, well, she, yeah, so she played it off and was just kind of like, well, I mean, Lando is such a suave guy, and so he could have had like hundreds of children throughout the galaxy. He's like,
can have all kinds of kids throughout the galaxy out here.
Oh, that was so good.
It's like, what does that even mean? What kind of an answer is that? Anyway.
So,
I loved that. Billy Dee's face, too. He was just like, really?
Mm-hmm. He's just like, oh,
I see this question, really?
After that, it was the trio, I believe.
Yes,
so the trio Oscar came Isaac, out. Daisy Ridley. Well, they were talked about.
I mean, they were all together, but like.
Yeah. So Oscar Isaac, Daisy Ridley, and John Boyega.
Mm-hmm,
they were asked to be, or, you know, they were asked, and Steven's question, one of the questions was, so is there, I don't know if it was at this point or later, but like, is there a love triangle between Finn and
oh Ray my God. And Rose?
Ray. Yes, Ray and Rose. I was like, I cannot think of Rose's name.
and John was like, throw Poe in there too.
Mm-hmm.
A love square.
I'm just like, oh boy, this is just a chemistry of love. And it was just love like, this. It was so just cool. A really nice, like, yeah, we're not going to be completely heteronormative here. Why the
it's
hell
so
not?
It's so sweet. I love it. I honestly, I love it. I love how much like the main trio, clearly like the actors and actress loves each other, but then like mm-hmm. also including or pulling Rose in or pulling in Kelly with them too
mm-hmm.
is also super, super sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love like, even though technically, I guess you could say that it's queer baiting, but like Oscar Isaac and John Boyega constantly feeding the crowd for Finn and Poe is really mm-hmm. the best. It's the mm-hmm. best. It's so sweet and really like warm and not mocking in any way, shape or form.
Right.
You know, and that's really important, you know, to have that kind of like encouragement and acceptance too
mm-hmm.
and support, regardless of whether or not it's canon. Like, just to see that support reflected in the actors is huge. It is a big deal.
It's one thing to just have, like, the writing say that, which, mm-hmm. you know, that has not happened. But, like, for the actors themselves portraying the characters without any prompt from the production crew, you know, that's a different story.
Yeah, and then Oscar Isaac really, like, goes, like, all in with, like, Poe. Takes mm-hmm. his love for Finn very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that was an actual answer.
And because we're all just kind of like, what's going on? Can go like, on.
Because, like, Colbert was asking him, like, because Poe makes a lot of jokes and, like, makes, like, sarcastic comments throughout the trilogy so far. So he's like, does Poe take anything seriously? And then Oscar's like, Poe takes his love for Finn very seriously. And then both like John Boyega and Oscar Isaac are like hugging on stage. It's actually really sweet. I love it.
They're sitting next to each other.
Yeah, they're sitting next to each other and they're constantly like hugging and stuff. It's really sweet the way they completely like see the need in the audience for that kind of representation. And even if mm-hmm. it's not confirmed in canon, they don't do like how some other actors or actresses out there are like, but instead they just go all in and completely embrace it. And like
they
just,
are totally fine with the hypothetical.
Yeah, they're totally fine with the hypothetical. They might have even made it canon if it was up to them too.
Yeah.
Depending. And like, it's just like that kind of acceptance is so hard to see, especially because there are actors and actresses who are like, whoa, hold on, I'm not gay. You know, right. Like saying shit like that. And it's like, or even actively mocking the audience, which was something that the cast of Supergirl did. Like, really? Actually saying on stage, mocking the audience and anybody who was watching the panel, for anyone who's watching the panel who, like, shipped Supergirl and another woman. And, like, it was actually really offensive.
Hmm. Wow.
It was, yeah, it was atrocious. I was like, wow, that's, wow. It was completely unnecessary. It was hateful. And their apologies were bullshit. Yeah, frankly. So, like, given that that is a thing that actually happened recently, the fact that Oscar Isaac and John Boyega are completely the opposite, where they actually encourage the fans, they recognize that it's important to see that, and they actually support them, and they're very warm and loving, is like, it's really, it's really sweet and really the kind of like kindness that we need, you know?
Mm-hmm. So from there, Daisy Ridley was introduced. The crowd sang her happy birthday because it was her birthday.
Yes.
It was so cool.
That was so sweet. Like everybody in that whole auditorium was just singing happy birthday.
She says she's younger than me. And I'm just like, oh, God.
I know, right? It was like embarrassing, but she looks happy. So that's
important. Yeah. Trying to think, what was... Oh, she talked about the books that she took from...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At the end of The Last
Tree
Jedi.
Library.
Yes, the tree library. So maybe she's done reading them by now, but, you know, they're long books. That was
we don't know. Because, like, she was giving that response, but also, like, going, we don't even know how long it's been since the end of The Last Jedi. So who knows how far she got into the books.
It was funny because, like, at one point, all the cast kept, like, kicking questions to either Kathleen Kennedy or J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
And he's just, like, you could, like, J.J.'s just getting flustered. Like, why are you throwing this responsibility at me? And at one point, he's just like, well, I enjoyed Daisy's Ridley work. I used to. Just like, oh.
I used to love Daisy Ridley.
Yeah.
I used to love Daisy Ridley. Because she was like, I can't answer this, JJ.
Yeah. It's so good. They kept showing basically press shots of all the characters on screen. So Finn was in basically resistance garb.
Yeah.
Looking very dapper.
He looks very heroic, and he finally has like his own iconic look to
him. It's not quote unquote stolen from Poe.
Right. It's his own iconic outfit.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, got gauntlets on, has blue pants. At one point he says, so they brought out the blue pants and he's like, I'm definitely in Star Wars right now.
I'm in Star Wars now. I'm in Star Wars now.
Poe is looking as Poe as ever.
Well, Poe actually has an iconic outfit this time now. He's more than just a pilot and more than just running around in some jumpsuit like in The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
He actually has his own iconic outfit.
Daisy once again has her three hair bun things.
Yep.
And has her staff back and has like her all white. It's very...
It's like an updated look of what she was wearing before.
Yes, right. It's very similar to what she had on Jakku.
Yes, but like updated, not torn apart and brighter, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, and lighter. It looks very like flowy, but also very practical.
Yeah.
Which is kind of hard to achieve, but like I really like her. I really like what they did with like the look. because you can still recognize it's her, but they changed it in little ways that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After that, they talk to Kelly.
Yes.
And it was she gets emotional as it is, but like she was just like trying to hold back her like crying while she was on stage. It's just so adorable. But it was really, really nice to see like this, the crowd recognizing her, like they cheered more for her than the others just because of like,
you know, what's funny?
It's a welcoming ceremony or welcome back rather. Sorry.
Yeah. So like what's funny is that Kelly, you know, she like deleted her social media accounts because of all the racist harassment that she was getting. And then the welcome back on this panel, they started chanting her name. They were like, Kelly, Kelly. Uh-huh. And then like, it was like a small group started chanting it. And then the entire auditorium started chanting it. And I think she started like crying on stage too. She got like really tearful. But like, considering like all the hate that she got before, yes, obviously not from like the larger community, but like from like a really vocal subset of racist fans, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, it makes me emotional too, because she's like the first Asian woman front and center.
I was gonna say, you know, she has all this racist stuff because she's the first Asian person.
And not like, just Asian, but like she's like Southeast Asian.
Yeah.
You know?
So it was great to see the crowd just welcome her. Not that I expected otherwise, but it's once again another one of those reaffirming things that like not everybody in this community sucks.
Yeah.
So
I actually know one of the people who was in that small crowd that started chanting her name in the beginning and got everyone else to start chanting too.
Amazing. They are heroes.
Yeah. I was like, thank you. it makes me really emotional to see like that kind of support, especially given like everything that she went through, and then The Last Jedi did not portray her well, but like, you know, what she's gonna do.
Yeah.
What I really liked too was JJ, this is the specific quote that he said. He said, "I was grateful to Rian Johnson for so many things he did. The greatest for me was casting Kelly Marie." And she started like tearing up on stage again.
Oh yeah, she got choked up again.
Yeah. I love her so much. She's Vietnamese. She's the same area as where my mom's from. And her parents are refugees. Just like my mom.
So. Yeah, it was nice that JJ also acknowledged that. Just like he's ecstatic that Kelly's there with the group.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, they talked to Jonas.
Yes, Jonas.
Who is the physical actor for Chewbacca. And very tall man. Holy crap.
Yeah, very tall, but I mean, you gotta, right?
You definitely have to. You know, he thanked Peter Mayhew, who couldn't be there, basically. Because he said, you know, if Peter hadn't done the character, Jonas wouldn't have had that role because the height. And, like, you know, there's just not that much. A lot of Hollywood doesn't want to go for the extremes, like the extreme spectrums, you know?
Yeah, that's right. It's true. It's very true.
So, yeah. So, and, you know, he was also thankful to the entire cast because he got to bring his kid on set, and they showed a picture of him as full-on Chewbacca and his son in, it looked like a Yoda onesie.
It really did. Or maybe like a Wookiee onesie, maybe.
Yeah.
It's hard to see.
He said that, like, they made him a character, but I don't know if he was joking or not. It seemed like he was joking, but you never know.
You never know.
But it was good to see him there as well, in my opinion.
It was. It really was.
So that was the interview section part. Do you have anything you want to add to that part?
I think we touched on everything, right? They had the trio, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, mm-hmm. Daisy Ridley, Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about Naomi.
Mentioned the Ray a little bit.
Ugh. Oh, man. I wanted to skip that part, but we're going to bring it up.
Oh, like, no, we're going to bring it up.
Okay, so Stephen Colbert is like, is there anything between you and Kylo to, like, Daisy, I guess, or Rey and Kylo? And then, of course, you hear, like, the weirdo Raylos in the audience yelling. And Raylo Daisy's
being a ship of Rey and Kylo Ren.
Which is pretty
gross.
Like
a romantic ship.
Honestly.
For many reasons.
Pretty gross for, like, many reasons. But you could see on Daisy's face, like, the disgust and the absolute repulsion that just crossed her features before she hid it behind, like, a nice smile.
It was
and, like,
very...
I don't think the people in the audience could see it, but us watching the live stream, she looked like she was going to throw up on the stage.
There was just this most brief look of intense disgust.
Intense disgust and anger. And then this hideaway, like the perfect actress that she is. She was just like full of just like angry. She was gonna angry vomit on Steven and then she just hid it away.
I think like he had to because he was also riffing on, is there gonna be any more like half naked Kylo Ren?
Yeah,
on
that's right. Because like, he went from that question to the half naked Kylo Ren, and Daisy was like, "There's no more. There's not going to be any more half naked Kylo Ren."
And then you have Oscar chiming in. No, we went on full naked.
We
got
went
off
on
the
full
stakes.
Naked.
Like, oh god.
Oh my god.
And just the entire presentation had these like small little jabs at Ryan and The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And it was like very amusing.
It was very amusing.
It wasn't like overly insulting. It was just like you could tell the cast and JJ, they were not thrilled with how The Last Jedi went, which was a common thing as like, you know, after the movie came out, it was like the actors didn't enjoy working on this movie.
They're not allowed to say that.
That's right. Okay. There were like these coded things, but it wasn't a full on. Yeah, this sucked.
Yeah, like if you were paying attention to like all the extraneous material leading up to The Force Awakens, you could see how excited the cast was, how happy they were, how they felt like genuinely fulfilled working with JJ. You know, mm-hmm. you could see all of that leading up to The Force Awakens. You could see how happy they were, how thankful they were that JJ listened to them when they were filming. And like that, it doesn't matter to a lot of people how the cast feels as long as they enjoy the movie. But like me personally, it matters a lot to me to see a mm-hmm. happy cast, to see that the actors and actresses are happy working with this director. And they were really happy for The Force Awakens. But then when you look at all the extra material for The Last Jedi, you could actually see that they looked really miserable. They mm-hmm. really did not look happy at all. It was complete mood change
mm-hmm.
working with Rian Johnson. And then Rian Johnson was so arrogant in all of his interviews. And
so that was the main section of the panel. Now mm-hmm. this is the point where we say spoilers are incoming. If you have not watched the trailer or you do not want to watch the trailer, skip the rest of the podcast. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you did not see the teaser trailer, if you don't want to hear anything about it, skip the podcast. You know, we probably should have just announced that in the beginning. Whatever.
Well, that's why I was like, let's not talk about spoilers yet. Let's wait.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
So, this is customary on other podcasts. The spoiler horn.
Pew, 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 pew. Oh, you're doing the actual horn. I see.
Yes.
I see.
I see.
I got distracted. So, I looked to the side and I have like this weird pig with bug eyes standing next to Zeb.
And now this is the good content that people who are afraid of spoilers will not be able to hear.
That's right.
So,
I mean, it's all speculation anyway. Speculation.
That point, it was time for the trailer. The 2-minute trailer. And oh my God. So, previously I wasn't terribly excited for kind of anything Star Wars. There were some personal reasons, but it was also just kind of like I felt very burnt out on Star Wars.
Yeah.
I felt like I still kind of do. There's like too much content kind of diluting what made it special for me in a way. Like, yeah. There were, you know, a little bit of that rarity as we were growing up.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And then the trailer came on. And so I just have it in this tab. Yeah, you know, as you do, professional podcasters.
Yeah, it's not like we watched it like 30 times on repeat. Okay. For look, ourselves,
I,
you know.
I worked from home today. I turned my speakers to blast. And I'm like, I hope neighbors aren't around, but also, I don't care.
I pulled my brother over so that we could watch the teaser trailer together.
So yeah. It starts off with Rey in her new garb, essentially. Kind of dirty, but it's still much cleaner than Jakku. She has lightsaber on her hip. Which I believe is Luke's lightsaber rebuilt.
Anakin's Luke. Lightsaber.
Yeah. Anakin's then. Yeah. Mm-hmm, Which she did confirm, you know, that was a question that.
It lives Stephen, is her yes, answer.
Stephen Colbert brought up is since the lightsaber was destroyed in The Last Jedi, is it rebuilt? Is it starting from scratch? And she's like, it lives. We see
which
that
is a
here.
Good answer. Okay. It's a yeah. Good answer.
So she's on this like desertish planet, and off in the distance there is a TIE interceptor like skirting the ground and coming towards her, and she just has this like it's initially kind of like a timid, scared face, but then she just like grows confident. And so it starts off with every generation has a legend, which is the quote that was shown on the Phantom Menace trailer.
Yes.
So that was kind of a nice touch. The TIE Interceptor comes racing towards her. It's basically Kylo Ren coming towards her.
I mean, I guess we're like assuming that, right? Because we don't really see the person's face.
Yeah, that's true. But it is Kylo's ship that he has flown in the previous shows, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
Previous episodes. And then, like, it goes into the slow-mo scene of her, like, doing a backflip with her lightsaber ignited and just, like, looks like she's going to cut off one of the wings of the TIE. Fades to black. So
it's,
you know,
very, very impressive, all right? You got to see it. If you didn't see it, you got to see it.
It's beautiful. Then we go to like a snow planet at that point. I'm literally going through the trailer as we go. It looked like, I don't know the name of the planet, but in Rogue One, where the, was that the desert planet?
Oh, Jakku? Was that?
No. In Rogue One, I'm thinking of the planet that was like all the rain and stuff. That's
all
where,
the rain.
Jen Erso's dad died.
Oh, I don't remember. I gotta look it up.
Yeah. But it looked like that, except it was snowing, and there were like little colonies built on these tall mountains and whatnot.
Yeah.
Ship flying through there. Then we go to Kylo Ren on a battlefield that looked very much like Skywalker or Starkiller Base, because it's just a bunch of like tall dead trees around and everything's burning. He's fighting people. His helmet is being welded back together, which I thought was a nice touch.
Me too.
We go to a view of Finn and Poe on a planet, and then BB-8. Oh, we forgot the droid. Dio. you know, this adorable, like, basically a Pixar lamp with a giant wheel.
It is so cute. Oh,
it really is.
And, like, the beeping is just adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable. I guess robotics is really coming up in Star Wars, huh?
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
It's a newfangled thing. Go to a screenshot of a clip of the Millennium Falcon traveling through hyperspace with Chewbacca in the passenger seat, Lando Calrissian in the pilot seat, and he's just like giddy as hell. The saga comes to an end. So, and then we go to this like giant fight with Skiff of C-3PO, Finn, and Poe on it. And there's like another Skiff behind them, and then like two jetpack troopers. It's kind of cool.
Very cool.
And I'm like, can we get more info about the jetpack troopers by chance?
Can we get info about that one guy that Kylo's trying to slice in half, but his armor stops the lightsaber?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Kylo a Mandalorian? I had to like rewatch it a few times.
Kylo is just like body slam, kind of not body slams, like takes his arm and just shoves him into the ground.
It's actually like really like cool looking, especially with the lightsaber.
It's totally cool looking.
It's supposed to like cut through anything, but in the Star Wars universe, cannot cut through Mandalorian armor. So I was like,
well, it looked like he like stabbed him with the side guard, if that makes sense, and like didn't try to cut through him.
Oh, you think so?
Just kind of like slammed him into the ground.
Yeah,
it's kind of difficult because it happens so quick. But yeah. It looks like he, you know, is running along, extends his arm out, his lightsaber is ignited, has one of the side guards like go into him and just like kind of picks him up with it and slams him into the ground. That's my kind of understanding of it. But, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
You know,
JJ knows. Kylo knows. Or Adam Driver knows.
JJ stunt director knows, who is a woman. God. I'm very happy. Like,
and was very, like, everybody loved her because everybody loved her on stage.
Yes.
Then, you know, your generic ship of us, or generic scene of a ship spiraling out of control and crashing. It looks like Leia's like holding this. Oh my God. I just realized.
What?
That's the Yavin 4 medal.
That's right.
That is the Yavin 4 medal that she awarded to Luke and Han.
Oh my God. That's
episode
so
4.
I'm going to cry. How dare you? How dare you?
You're welcome. My mind has just been blown. Live on air.
Bananas.
And then we go from there to a scene of Leia holding and hugging Rey. And they're both like sobbing at this point. And I'm just like, this isn't fair. It was very emotional. And of course, the voice clip at that point in the trailer is Luke Skywalker, aka Mark Hamill, going, "We will always be with you." And I'm just like, boy, these are the feels that I did not want today.
How did he say it? It was not, "We will always be with you." But well,
at this point, it's
they're never really gone.
Yeah, that's after that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at this point, he's saying, "We'll always be with you." And then it's the trio plus Chewie plus R2 and BB-8 and their new Dio droid friend all on this grassy planet. And they're all like in wonder as they walk up to this cliffside. Camera changes, giant body of water in front of them, presumably ocean, and there's like, you know, this very jagged thing off in the distance. It took me a second, but it's the goddamn Death Star.
Yep. See, that's
crashed
the thing
into the planet.
Rey was actually supposed to be on a completely water planet that had pieces of the Death Star on it, and they changed it so that she was on Jakku instead. So that's actually why that whole scene where she dives into the ocean in The Last Jedi just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, as like a side note, it only makes sense if Rey was from a water planet and like we are introduced to her from a water planet. Someone who was raised on a desert planet wouldn't know how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah. It seems like they're reusing that idea for this one. And
Some stuff from the Art of the Force Awakens book that people on Twitter have been posting related to the next thing that happens.
Yes. Yes.
The cackle that we all know and I love, others hate or fear.
I love it.
Motherfucking Palpatine is back.
I love it. Because the whole...
Oh my God.
So you hear the cackle, right? It fades to dark. The lights come back on in the auditorium. And there he is, just standing there on the stage. The actor.
Ian McDiarmid is in person.
Standing right there, smiling. He didn't even say anything. And everyone was going nuts.
Yes. But... It was okay. I'm gonna like just do some magic here, but it was great because like it's at that point the line that Luke says in the voiceover is, "No one's ever really gone."
Be with you. No one's ever really gone.
I believe. Correct.
Yes. No one's ever really gone.
Yes.
And we all thought, they're talking about Luke or they're talking about Carrie.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, God, why did they say it about Carrie? And then the cackle comes in.
And then you're like,
Palpatine, that classic trademark cackle. I was kind of like in a slump on my couch. And then that came on. I literally jumped off of my couch.
Yes.
I'm just like, oh, my God. It was so good. Here, hang on. Maybe try to do magic.
I'm so glad.
I have a picture of or with him. I'm like, gah.
He's so great. And it's like, it seemed like the audience didn't even realize that he was there. They were so transfixed on the trailer and all the lights were off that they couldn't see him go onto the stage. And when the lights came on, there he was and the entire cast was gone. It was just him. Everyone else was off the stage and everyone was just like losing their minds and he couldn't even say anything because everyone was just yelling.
It was like a solid minute and a half of just like applause because he's just standing there.
And then he's like rolling the gun. And then they like, roll the trailer again.
And it's not just like, you know, him saying roll it again. It's him putting his Emperor voice on and doing it. And I'm just like, oh my God.
So excited. So
the title of the movie, we didn't mention, The Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise of Skywalker.
People don't like the title. I'm like, I like it. I really do.
I love it, too. Like, it doesn't have to apply to Rey, obviously.
Right.
You know, it could be like a general term, but anyway.
A theory that somebody pointed out. Now we're just getting into crazy fan theories because we got all the facts out of the way.
Quote, hell yeah. I love
this. One of the theories is the Jedi are gone. Here are the Skywalkers. That's something that I saw on Twitter.
So, the Jedi Order is not going to be called Jedi anymore. They're just going to call Skywalkers?
Skywalkers, yes.
That's interesting. I like that.
I don't know
if that's true, but I really like that. I can see why people hate it, but like, I think that's really interesting.
It's kind of like, this was about like ending the story of the Skywalker saga. And like, but this would be kind of a way to keep acknowledging that as time goes forward if they do future content, as in like content after this part of the saga. But I'm just like, you know, they said, for whatever you think about The Last Jedi, like the Jedi Order is dead. You know? So
what
like
was again how that phrase go, like go the past, kill it if you have to.
Yes. Well, we kind of redid that part in this movie, but
listen.
So
what, undoing all of Rian Johnson's work?
Yeah,
I can't imagine that. Anybody who would want that.
No. So that was one theory that came out. There's also the theories of like, oh yes, this is definitely confirming that, you know, Rey is a Skywalker or some crap like that, which is like very tired at this point.
Honestly, it is pretty tired. Like it's the obvious choice, right? But mm-hmm. I've never really seen her as a Skywalker. I mean, not as like blood related. You know, we were all hoping for an actual like thing to happen during The Last Jedi where you could kind of see them, Rey and Luke, kind of come together as like a found family sort of thing. Right. I think a lot of us were like hoping for that, and we very clearly did not get that.
Which, like, I kind of appreciated.
You like that? You appreciated?
Yeah, just like it's one thing of Rian's that I appreciated from Last Jedi is like we don't know her lineage, and you know what? That's okay. She's still this awesome kick-ass character. She's still an awesome person.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. It's just like all of the training montage didn't make any sense. The whole like you don't have to know your lineage either, which was good, but the way it was presented was not good.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. And like it could have been done a lot better. And then also, again, like I said, the training montage, it doesn't make any sense because Luke is not really training her. And then not really a lot of reason to get emotionally invested in the movie or even like empathize or sympathize with Luke. It kind of took for granted the fact that we're all long-term fans. So we know where Luke is coming from, supposedly. And so that's why we're invested. But I was not really invested in Luke as like a standalone character.
No.
He did not do a good job. With that.
Yeah, but no, I agree with you there.
That's like going on a whole different like tangent. Yeah. But like, I wanted like a kind of found family thing because it would kind of reinforce Rey's whole like need to find family in mm-hmm. in a sort of way because she's so isolated and she needs to not be as isolated.
Mm-hmm.
But Last Jedi definitely did not do that.
I mean. If it turns out she's a Skywalker, that's great. If she's related to somebody else in the movie that we know, you know, that's great.
You know who I think? You know who I think?
Who?
I've always subscribed to Rey being a descendant from, like, Palpatine.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, really. That can, like, come into play.
That's,
now.
Like, so out there. I was like, that is really out there, man. I don't know. But now I'm like, interesting. Interesting. Because now we have Palpatine cackling, you know? And, you know, The Last Jedi was made exactly the way it was made. So, like, stranger things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger things than Rey being a Palpatine.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, I mean, but, go ahead.
Shenanigans, man. I'm just really interested in what they decide to do with that.
Yeah, like just seeing the panel and seeing the trailer really reignited my interest in mm-hmm. Star Wars again. Because, like, it was, like I said, I was kind of just done with the constant capitalism of it. You know, there's all this new material, whether it be books, comics, movies, audiobooks, toys, whatever. And like I said, I still am a little meh on it. But yeah. For this movie specifically, I am all in.
And like, things that it feels like Star Wars.
It had that same excitement that The Force Awakens had 4 years ago. Yeah.
But it also has, like, the aesthetic of Star Wars. Like, The Last yes. Jedi, a big criticism was that it doesn't look and it doesn't feel like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But The Rise of Skywalker looks and feels like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this, like, really exciting kind of undercurrent, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've seen people, like, get all mad and criticize just, like, the trailer or whatever. And I'm like, well, you know. That's just your opinion, man.
Star Wars fans gonna be mad. So yeah. One of the other cool things that somebody on Twitter brought up is, as I mentioned earlier, they look back into the Art of Force Awakens book.
Mm-hmm.
And like, originally, they were going to find the Death Star and the Emperor's chambers underwater. So, like, you know, it was going to be on a water planet. So it, again, is bringing some of that original inspiration back into this movie by putting the Death Star, parts of the Death Star explosion, or the hull, rather, like, on a giant water planet. So, it, they're constantly going back, which is not a surprise. But again, still nice to see.
Very nice to see. I like that reusing of old ideas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like Rey's whole look too, actually looks like the original sketches that George Lucas did for Star Wars, like way, way back in the day.
Yeah.
When he was first coming up with the concept. But like people don't seem to realize that for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Fake Star Wars fans.
Fake news.
Fake Star Wars fans.
Another tweet that I saw, it was somebody like comparing and contrasting episode 6 and episode 9, and just like how Rey is in brilliant white and Luke was in pitch black. Like his outfit was straight black. So like there's that contrast there as well.
I really like the contrast. Oh, another thing is that this teaser trailer opens with Rey breathing hard in the desert, right?
Which we
and
started.
The teaser trailer for The Force Awakens opens with Finn breathing hard in a desert, and I really appreciate that too.
Yeah,
honestly, because like it's a little like wink, you know, reminding people who the heroes of this trilogy are instead of that.
Well, pretty again,
obnoxious focus, you know, on Kylo.
It's like a lot of fan service, obviously, but like it's still that nod to the quote unquote heritage of just this, not just this trilogy, but also to the saga with, again, the Phantom Menace quote of every generation has a legend.
Yeah.
So it's constantly, it really is taking Rian Johnson's kill the past and just shutting it down hard.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the thing that I really love about this new trilogy is that it's bringing in new fans to Star Wars, but like for the right reasons.
Yes.
I don't know about The Last Jedi, but that's a whole other like pretentious thing.
Yeah.
But like I can already see like kids getting super invested, and this trilogy is the first thing that they see. Mm-hmm. For Star Wars, and a lot of Star Wars fans, a lot of old Star Wars fans, completely lose sight of that. Like, this was a heroic trilogy that made you feel a certain type of way, you know, before getting into all the other like politics of fandom, right? This trilogy was the first thing that you've ever seen that really connected with you and made you feel a certain type of way in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
When you first saw it, and little kids are getting that feeling now.
And it's not just the 70s little white kids, it's people, kids of color as well, which is fantastic. Yeah, but
it's also like girls.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know that Leia existed, right? And she was a heroine and everything, but
She was also the only female character, the only major female character for basically all. I mean, you had like Mon Mothma there, but
she wasn't really like a front and center action hero, you know? And it's different when you have like a female character who is the center of the trilogy instead of a side character or a damsel in distress who has to be rescued.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot different, and it's a positive representation for little girls who are just being introduced to Star Wars for the first time.
Mm-hmm. And
you know,
for that having that role model of Rey or Rose, or I mean, just taking it out,
or Jana,
or Jana, or I mean, even if you just want to take the real world example of like Carrie Fisher, like just how great she was and promoting basically everybody, you know, love each other and, you know, take care of mental health and like just did not let anything go by her, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I am so goddamn hyped for this.
Me too.
December is so far. Oh my god. What are we going to do until then?
I don't know. I forgot to show my mom the trailer. Oh my god.
Oh jeez.
I knew I forgot something. I was like, I'm forgetting something. What did I forget? And then I just realized I didn't show my mom the trailer. It's already like late, so she's already went to bed. This is outrageous.
We need an update for the next episode.
Yeah, we do. My mom loves Star Wars, but she did not want to see The Last Jedi after I saw it. I still remember like all of us standing like confused after we saw The Last Jedi going, what did we just watch?
I think,
and yeah, I don't think that we're going to get this feeling with this movie. I think it's going to be good this time.
Whenever I walked out of like The Last Jedi, like I was happy, but it was more because like it was like, you know, I was getting that hit of Star Wars in my veins. Like I needed something at that point because I, you know, I was riding the high of Rogue One.
Yeah.
And like that was fantastic.
Rogue One was really good.
Yeah. And then like I came home and then saw it again later on. And then I like started thinking about it. I'm like,
there are, I kind of ruined it for you, here. I think.
You kind of did, but like it's still valid things going on there.
Yeah.
Like there are still parts of that movie that I love, mainly for visual effects, also because Laura Dern's in it. Anyway.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like there were good parts in The Last Jedi, but
yeah,
there were a lot of parts that were not good.
Yeah. A lot of the writing was bad. The visual aspect.
Or it didn't like follow through, or it was too focused on being subversive and was too focused on surpassing or like subverting your expectations. You know, mm-hmm. it was a movie focused on surprising you.
Mm-hmm.
But in delivering a movie that surprises you, there's a lot of things that doesn't make sense
mm-hmm.
when you think about it. Or there's a lot of like scenes that kind of casually okays like racism
mm-hmm.
without yeah. like being obvious about it. It was very insidious in a way that like other Star Wars movies just weren't.
You could
like,
say
yeah, racism exists a lot in Star Wars in general, but The Last Jedi was very insidious in its like subtleties.
You could say it's Darth Insidious.
But
thank you. Anyway,
yeah, that was good. That was so good.
Thank you.
You're coming to the pun side, my man.
Only whenever I dictate it. Like The okay, Last Jedi was a very pretty movie.
But it like was very pretty.
As I started to get in there, like, yeah, that's kind of all it had going for it. So this, just the way that the cast interacted on stage, that in itself got me excited. But then to see the trailer of everything being touched on, just kind of thinking back to how things will be connected, like, I'm hyped. I am all in.
Me too. Oh my god, me too.
There's still 3 more days of Star Wars Celebration.
Which we're very excited for. I'm very, very excited waiting for more information on The Mandalorian.
There's also a Clone Wars panel coming up.
Clone Wars panel, because they revived the Clone Wars. They're going to finish it.
Finally. Yeah. I feel like there's a few other things, but I cannot at the moment think of it. Those are like the main things that I'm excited for.
You're right. But oh, I mean, these are the main things that I'm excited for.
Tomorrow, the single player game that Respawn is doing.
Oh, shit. Oh, yes. Shit.
And it's
that's
already right, been confirmed. Right. It's all single player, no multiplayer, no in-app purchases.
Oh, my God. Finally. We get what we deserve.
Yes. And it's by Respawn, aka the people who did Apex Legends, that I currently have 160 hours in, so I'm probably going to enjoy this one a lot.
Titanfall. We've been talking about that, too.
So I'm like very excited to see what they have in store.
Me too.
I think there's also a Resistance panel. I think there's also a Rebels wrap-up panel.
I want to see Rebels wrap-up panel. Same.
I had to look at the schedules for that. I'm not sure when it is.
I didn't look at the schedule either. I was like, I don't know how I feel about Celebration this year.
Yeah, I was the exact same way.
And I am very, very happy. I'm surprised and I am happy. Mm-hmm. That's all I could ask for, right?
Might not be something that I watch live, but one, I will probably get Twitter updates. Two, I'll probably get updates from friends. Three, they've mm-hmm. been good about putting the panels on YouTube, so.
Yeah. And we can always catch up on it. We don't have to watch it live either.
Yeah. Like I'm kind of curious. Let's see. Star Wars Celebration.
I am very curious.
2017. I'm curious that they still have they still have the live stream from 2017 still on YouTube.
Yeah.
So that's also nice. Which I was on multiple times in 2017. Hello.
Hello.
I think today was a good day.
I think today was a good day, too. My brother was also really excited because we've both been pretty burned out from Star Wars. Mostly because, like, The Last Jedi was just so disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no offense, but it was a very white man movie.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
And it's like, I can see why a lot of white men love this movie, but, it didn't really feel like Star Wars.
Yeah, no. You don't have to apologize for it. It's totally accurate.
Oh man, people are going to flip out at me on Twitter. Fuck you.
The white man is speaking racism. Out against his own kind.
Reverse racism. All right. Whatever, man. Listen. Your privilege blinds you to some things. It's fine. It happens. Yeah. But yeah, The Last Jedi was a very white movie. It was made for white men, and white men enjoyed it. And it very much hit its target audience, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the rest of Celebration has to do, or has to show, rather. And
I want to see Rebels wrap up. I want to see more Ahsoka, but who knows if we're gonna see any more of her.
Oh, we probably will.
I'm just so excited for Mandalorians, man.
Yeah.
My people.
We'll find out more soon. And
more about the Mando Ade.
We'll probably bring up more in the next episode. Like, that's pretty much a guarantee.
Yes.
So.
Go full Star Wars nerd.
Yeah, basically.
Star Wars nerd.
I don't have anything else for this week. Do you?
No, I do not.
Okay. So, we recorded this time. Hooray!
We did it. You know, I had a fever this entire time.
Oh, god damn it.
I know, man. I did so good.
Now you have to go rest.
I mean, that's, you know, that's, it's normal.
Okay. Well.
It's good. Obviously, I'm sick with happiness for Star Wars.
Yeah, that's how it works.
It is.
All right. Well, until 2 weeks. Hopefully, from now.
Until 2 weeks from now.
Have a good time, everybody. Bye!
Bye!